Ezekiel 22. Did I say that wrong? Whatever. We're going to look at verses 29 through 31. The message tonight is called What God Needs. What God Needs. This verse actually is our text and kind of a first point. So we're just going to jump right in. I'm going to read it first. And it says, verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So point number one tonight is what God needs. And first of all, God needs you. So God here in verse 30, he's looking for one man to stand in the gap to make sure something gets done, to put up a hedge so he doesn't have to destroy the people. And God said he couldn't find anybody. And we get this idea all the time, this really wrong idea. People say, God doesn't need me. You know, we hear it all the time, God doesn't need you, God doesn't need me. But here's the thing, it says he looked for a man. And so if everybody had that attitude of God doesn't need me, God doesn't need me, God doesn't need me. So it becomes this line of, oh, I'm going to put my duties off on somebody else because God doesn't need me, right? And to where nothing gets done. People get destroyed because of it. We think that, oh, God doesn't need me to go talk to this person. Somebody else is going to go do it. God doesn't need me here at church because somebody else is going to be here. He doesn't need me to step up and do anything. It's wrong. It really is. God does need you. You specifically. He needs Drake. He needs Avion. He needs Madison. He needs everybody. God. It says, he hath appointed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. It's literally up to us. We are the difference between life and death for people. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 14. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 13 and 14, and then we're also going to jump to Proverbs later on towards the end of the sermon. Okay, 14. Yep. Look at with me, if you would, at verse 6, and it says, Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Point number two is God needs somebody that is tired of sitting around and doing nothing. God needs somebody that's going to take action, that has ambition. Jonathan says here to his armor bearer, I'm tired of sitting around. I'm tired of waiting for Saul to go do something. Because if we look at verse 2 of chapter 14, it says, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. So we see here Saul sitting around when there's a war to be fought. But if we go back to 1 Samuel 13, we look at verse 11. This is where Saul sins, and he actually gets the kingdom taken from him. And let's look at what Saul says, why he sinned. He actually offered a sacrifice he wasn't biblically obligated to do. Look what he says. He says, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. So here's Saul saying, look, it's your fault, Samuel. You didn't show up when you said you were going to, which was funny because it was still the seventh day when he said this. Samuel said, I'll be there the seventh day. It wasn't the end of the seventh day yet. Samuel still showed up in his appointed at the appointed time. But he's blaming it on Samuel. Then also he's saying, oh, look, all my guys are leaving me. My soldiers are leaving. This army's still growing. This is why I'm sinning. Look, it's not my fault. Well, then we look at verse 2. We already saw verse 2 where Saul's sitting there even after Samuel already came. His excuse at that point is invalid. See, his excuse at the beginning was, I got to wait for Samuel. But then he didn't, obviously, he sinned. But then we see him just still sitting there. So my point with that is we need to get tired of sleeping in on Sunday mornings. We need to get tired of not coming to church or not going soul winning. God is looking for somebody that's going to get up and do something. And, you know, let's go out. Let's do something for God. I'm tired of sitting around, Mark. You know, if I were to say you and I were hanging out on Saturday morning, we did all the time, but we just didn't do anything for God. We got to get tired of sitting around. You can say, oh, I don't have a ride to church. I'm not good at talking. Well, that's what silent partners are on, and I guarantee somebody from here will pick you up on Sundays and Wednesdays. Pastor Donald driving to Mission Center to pick me up sometimes. Bryce picks me up on my way. Literally, there are people everywhere to come get you. We need you here. God needs you, right? So, and also we need to realize that no one else is, if we have this excuse of no one else is doing it, no one else is going to church. My friends don't do it. My friends don't go soul winning. Well, the reason your friends don't go soul winning is because you don't. And let me prove this. Look what happens when we actually do something for God. When Jonathan and his armor bearer actually start, they charge the army of the Philistines. It says, and Saul, verse 20 of chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, it says, and Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in the Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Aven. So when Jonathan and his armor bearer actually started doing something, look, everybody that was hiding came out of the woodworks. You know, if you were at school, and like, I guarantee there's say people at your school that maybe go to church, but they don't go soul winning, or they're not actively being part of anything that has to do that. I guarantee if they saw you starting to do something, I bet they'd start. Look, oh, they're starting to do that. Look, because no matter what, no matter who you are, somebody's looking up to you. You're always gonna have somebody looking to you as like you're kind of their leader, right or wrong. There's always gonna be someone that's looking to you, and they're gonna be looking to you. What do? They're going to be looking at Tristan. What does Tristan do in this situation? What does Felissa do in this situation? It doesn't necessarily matter. There's going to be someone looking for you or to you, and they'll do something when you do. So please do something. Another thing God needs us to do, he needs us to take risks. If we look at 1 Samuel 14:6 again, we're going to jump down to the middle of the verse, and it says here, that it may be the Lord will work for us. So that means it may not also. Look, he said, I don't know what's going to happen, but look, there's an army over there, and Saul's not doing anything. We got to go do something about this. They didn't know what was going to happen. So what they did, they made a plan. Look at verse 8. We're going to read through 15. It says, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, come up to us, and we will shew you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. So this is up a hill, and it's kind of like you would be climbing a ladder. That's how steep this hill is that they're running up these. See, another thing God wants, I don't really have this in my notes, but God wants people that want it the hard way. The easy way is probably never the good way, right? So, man, I don't know any other way to put this, but if I were in the military, right, and I knew I had enemy X across this field, okay, and my guys and I had to go get enemy X, the best thing to do is probably not to run across an open field and at my enemy when they have guns and we have no cover, right? The easy way is not the best. We should probably go around and flank them. So they had a plan, and here's what we want God to do. See, we want God to make our plan for us. We wait for God to tell us to do something in some way or other than the Bible. See, we wait, you know, we'll pray, God, what do you want me to do about this? God, what do you want me to be? Blah, blah, blah. And we want him to give this very detailed outline. Like, Drake, I want you to move to Florida in the city of Tampa, okay? Now, once you get there, I want you to start a church called I Heart Jesus Baptist. But before you do that, here's what I want you to do. You need to get a wife, right? Because that's a qualification to be a pastor. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to drive through Tampa. The fourth subway you see on the left-hand side, you're going to go in there. That cashier in there is going to be your wife. You're going to marry her. Then you're going to go start this church. See, we want this very detailed plan for God. We want God to lay up every single step. Well, Here's the problem with that. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 16. We're going to look at verse 9. And it says, "A man's heart deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps." So, I did this. I wanted to be a Marine. I wanted to go in the Army originally, before I got called the pastor, I guess. Not everybody gets called is what I'm getting at. So, to be honest, you might just pick what you want to do and go do it. Everybody's got to do something, right? And maybe you haven't been called to be a pastor, but you want to be. Look, go start your own church. Who was that pastor you were telling me about, Pastor Donald? That you said, was it like John R. Rice? Who was it? John R. Rice. You said that he's never called to preach. He said but he just wanted to do it, and he went out and did it, and he did a great job. That's what you said, right? So when we sit around and wait for a calling, this, like I said, very detailed plan, it's never going to happen, okay? I lost my train of thought again. This happens all the time. So, we want God. Okay, I remember where I was getting at. So, their plan, like I said, look at verse 13. It says, "And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him." So Jonathan's running up this hill. He's punching people. He's knocking him out. His armor bearer comes up behind him, and he's going to stab him. He's going to take care of business. So, and then it says, "In that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was a trembling in the host in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling." We want God, before we go out and do something like I said, we want a very specific detail. Like, they could have said, "God, all right, you send that earthquake and we're going to go do our job. You send that earthquake, we'll run right up that hill. We don't care." We kind of do the same thing, right? When we get a little bit older as adults, when we start to really tithe, I don't know if any of you guys do or not, but when we start to tithe, it'll be this: "God, get my finances right, then I'll tithe." Well, God says, "Hey, tithe and I'll get your finances right. God, keep me safe and I'll go soul winning. Make sure nothing bad happens to me." Well, here's the problem with that. Go soul winning and you'll be safe, right? We want God to part the Red Sea before we get up to it. That's not how that works, right? God, make sure everything works out just fine. Well, here's the thing. God might want you to have a mockery made of yourself, Jesus. Nailed to a cross, despised. Be a martyr, Stephen. Put in prison, Paul. Not everything always works out for you and me. You don't know. We have to just follow our plan and trust that God's going to lead us. Okay, we kind of just pick a way and go. Even if you get called the pastor, look, you don't know where to go. You just kind of pick a spot. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. Everywhere. It doesn't matter where. Pick a city. What's really interesting, I noticed this. So when God was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, or wherever they were going, I can't remember. But he led them with a cloud pillar by day, correct? And then a pillar of fire by night. Well, here's a weird thing with this. In daytime, when there's fog, right, a cloud, you can't see past that cloud. And the Bible says God was in that cloud. See, you can't see past God. You don't know what God has for you. See, and we, like I said, God makes his steps. Look, we have a plan. We want something. We go and try to do it, and God is the one that's going to make it happen, right? They charge the hill. God's the one that let them live. You know, you preach, God makes it successful. Right? We can't see past God. And at night, you guys have all been to a bonfire, correct? I hope so. If you're not, you haven't lived. I mean, bonfires are fun. But when it's funny, when you look at a bonfire, literally all you can see is this fire. And we're going to, I don't know, here's my fire. It's pretend God's word. I guess Jesus is God, John 1, right? So I'm following my cloud pillar or my fire, and here's what I'm not guiding the fire. The fire is guiding me. We're just kind of pretending here. So here's what I'm just focusing on, this, and I'm going wherever this kind of tells me to go, no matter where it is. It might be down here. I might run into Avion or whatever, but that's where God wanted me, because that's where he led me, right? We need to just learn to just follow this. Don't wait for some divine, you know what I mean? You're going to be praying and then some big booming voice behind you is going to tell you what to do. God needs people to take risks. It might not pay off, but it needs to be done. See, what about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is it Abednego or Abednego? How do you pronounce that? Okay. They said, you know, God may not deliver us, but he's like, even if we're not going to bow down to your image, he said he's able to, but he may not. You don't know. You just got to get out there and do something. Take a risk. That's what God's looking for in people. Now, this isn't all-inclusive or anything. There's all kinds of things. Like, God wants willing people. He wants faithful people and all kinds of other stuff. But I don't really have time to go through all that. But that's the end of my sermon. Thanks.